to talk a bit more about vision. Vision is not a good idea that we ask God to bless. Neither can it be just the best option that we have at our disposal at any given minute. To make plans and ask the Lord to endorse them is the antithesis of real vision, which should say, I only do what the Father is doing, and I only say what the Father says. Vision begins in your being still. It requires the patience to sit and listen. What we hear creates the big picture for us. What we then see becomes a series of steps that we walk in partnership with the Lord with. It is important that the vision be much bigger than us and our faith and our capacity to achieve it ourselves. If our vision is me-sized, it's not of God. True vision is always God-shaped and God-sized, something we could never, ever achieve on our own or in a group. So receiving vision should lead us into a much greater dependence on who God is for us. Graham Cook says, when God gives you a vision for your life and you see your name in lights, he suddenly changes the scenery and you find yourself in a desert and all you see is the next grain of sand. If we think that God is giving us a vision in order that we may become successful, that we may make a name for ourselves, we have the wrong idea. In Jeremiah, Baruch the scribe was told by Jeremiah, seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. Thy life I shall give you as a prey. The only thing that God promised Baruch the scribe, who sat alongside Jeremiah and saw all the great things that were going on there and the deprivations Jeremiah went through, was promised that his life would be all he would get away with. No greatness for him. The enemy loves us to live in the melting pot of our own weakness, inferiority and inadequacy. And in that place he likes to tell us that the majesty of God is far off for us and unavailable. But if it requires God's power to accomplish the vision, the place we must go is to God with our own weakness, inferiority and inadequacy, that he might be all in all. Because real vision requires God's power to accomplish it. And that's the whole point of it. Sometimes vision is simply there to test your heart. What will you do with it? Will you run off and try and make it happen? Will you make it a thing of self-aggrandizement? Sometimes the lure of success will reveal our hearts. But what it is about is identity building and destiny forming. Vision produces faith in us. If correctly interpreted and used, it accelerates our rest and peace. It increases our confidence in God. And all these things arise from the vision of majesty. If our vision is not rooted in the majesty of God, it becomes ordinary and mediocre. Because vision of necessity must establish our relationship with the Lord at a deeper and a higher dimension than we could ever imagine. It must lift us out of our current level and cause us to grow up in faith, stature, and presence. Most of our visions, you know, are purely functional. They centre around mission, calling, ministry. But our primary calling is to be made in the image of Jesus. God must have the preeminence in all things. So becoming like him must be our highest priority, and vision must take second place. We have two relationships here, a personal relationship and a working relationship. And the second grows out of the first. If the first is missing, the second won't happen. In order to do the works that Jesus did, we must become like him. That promise of greater things will you do can only be achieved through likeness, not simulation. God will not work through us when we are just play acting. He will not work through pretense, but through authenticity. When he sees the character and nature of his Son coming forth in us, then he will work through us, and not until. So the question arises, what vision do we have as each individual to become like Jesus in regard to who we are as people? Do we have a vision for our character, our courage, our faith, and our obedience? Does our personal vision for ourselves include the willingness to suffer, persevere, and press through against any and all opposition? Does our personal vision include developing the fruit of the Spirit in all our human circumstances? Is a renewed mindset and thinking like Jesus part of our relational vision? Who are we becoming with him, within ourselves? And who are we becoming for the people with whom we connect in the normal course of our lives? Vision that is purely functional cannot be realized in crucial times of adversity and warfare. Most churches will split because their vision does not include the upgrading of current relationships. We let go of one another because we don't have a conscious vision that empowers us to remain when our relationships go through a rough patch. We don't stick with it. We have Kleenex relationships, blow and throw. If relational values are not part of our main vision, we cannot occupy those high places of gifting that we so want to occupy without coming undone. Pressure will reveal it. And if we have no vision for developing our relationship with God into the heart of a warrior, a worshipper, an intercessor, an overcomer, a suffering servant, and an obedient son, we cannot attain a high place in our calling. So, question, what does your personal stroke corporate vision include? Does it have those relational components? Do you have a vision for the fruit of the Spirit to become part of your nature and character in Christ? Does your vision embrace suffering, perseverance, patience, and the hunger to press into the place of relational breakthrough in Christ? These are thoughts worth having, particularly at the beginning of a new year. They will lead you into a greater awareness of God and a more vibrant sense of being prepared for life in him at a much higher level. God bless you as you take some time to consider and think on this.